yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Report. And now, Hal Lindsey.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of the Hal Lindsey Report. Each year since 2013, global elites have held a world government summit in Dubai. This year's event ended last week. There were 4,000 participants from 140 countries. The 2019 summit focused on climate change. That's the current name for global warming. Actor Harrison Ford was a featured speaker in a video promoting the summit. He asked, "What does living in a 4 degrees warmer world look like?" Freshwater shortages, higher greenhouse gas emissions, unprecedented fires, worldwide destruction. He went on to say, "It's up to you and me to act now to face the greatest moral crisis of our times." It's interesting that he calls it a moral crisis, not a scientific crisis. After all, it was science that enabled the lifestyle that they believe is now killing the planet. And science is usually considered the best hope for fighting climate change. Moral crisis is a phrase borrowed from religion. And make no mistake, the proponents of man-made global warming are pushing it as a religion. They divide the world into two groups, believers and unbelievers. They call unbelievers climate deniers. Like other religions, they offer warnings of a coming apocalypse. An article in the Scientific American said, "This is how we sometimes talk about climate change. We're doomed. The apocalypse is coming. The end of the world is nigh. How should the people of Earth deal with a coming apocalypse?" In California last year, they decided to ban plastic straws. At one point, they proposed sending waiters and waitresses to jails if they gave a straw to a customer who didn't ask for one. The actual law levies small fines on restaurants whose waiters break that law. The idea behind the law is to keep straws out of the ocean. But in the United States, most plastic straws wind up in landfills, not the ocean. Of those straws that do wind up in the water, most come from fast food restaurants. The California law doesn't do anything to address fast food straws. The whole point is to make people feel like they're doing something. Businesses are also taking token actions. Starbucks restricted the use of plastic straws with their products. Reason is a libertarian magazine. It reported that by ditching plastic straws, Starbucks will actually be increasing its plastics use. As it turns out, the new nitro lids that Starbucks is leaning on to replace straws are made up of more plastic than the company's current lid-straw combination. The fear of plastic straws started with a single statistic. It indicated that Americans use over 500 million straws every day. We heard that number from the New York Times, USA Today, CNN, the Washington Post, and almost every other major news outlet. Eventually, the Times did an investigation. They found out that the unverified but oft-repeated number came from the unscientific guess of a 9-year-old boy back in 2011. It is not true. No one knows how many straws are actually used daily. You've probably heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, floating somewhere northwest of Hawaii. CNN reports that it covers an area more than 3 times the size of France. In fact, very little of that plastic comes from the United States. It mostly comes from China and other countries. But fear of plastic is nothing compared to the fear of global warming. Back in 2008, media mogul Ted Turner warned we'll be 8 degrees hotter in 30 or 40 years, and basically none of the crops will grow. Most of the people will have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals. If you think that sounds bad, consider this. An article last year in USA Today said global warming could be twice as warm as current climate models predict. That seems to fit with a prediction made last week by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Of course, we've heard such things before. Do you remember a book called The Limits to Growth? It was released in 1972 by a think tank called the Club of Rome. Their website says 12 million copies of the book were distributed in 37 languages. It raised the fear of overpopulation, and it was enormously influential. 17 years later, Ronald Bailey, the science editor of Forbes magazine, said the book was as wrong-headed as it is possible to be. Limits to Growth predicted that at 1972 rates of growth, the world would run out of gold by 1981, mercury by 1985, tin by 1987, zinc by 1990, petroleum by 1992, copper, lead, and natural gas by 1993. Have we run out of any of those things? Have we come anywhere near running out of them? No. Yet, even today, the United Nations still consults with the Club of Rome on environmental matters. They used to say that global warming would make hurricanes and tornadoes more frequent and more severe than ever. But for the last few years, there have been fewer hurricanes and tornadoes. Atmospheric physicist Richard Lindzen recently said, the warming that has occurred over the past 200 years or so has been too small to have been a major factor. However, objective reality matters little when it comes to propaganda, where repetition can effectively counter reality. In 2015, the European Space Agency revealed that in 2013 and 2014, Arctic ice increased by as much as 33%. Did you hear about that from the mainstream media? Or did you hear just the opposite, that Arctic ice is melting at an alarming rate? None of that matters to true believers. Presidential candidate Senator Cory Booker seems ready to ban cows. He recently said, this planet simply can't sustain billions of people consuming meat the same way America does. We will destroy our planet unless we start figuring out a better way forward when it comes to our climate change and our environment. If you remember, Senator Booker is famous for his I Am Spartacus moment at the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Perhaps he is now having his I Am Chicken Little moment, but he'll have to stand in line for that one.
Hal Lindsey is pleased to present his newest audiobook, Vanished into Thin Air, read in its entirety by Joel Weldon.
The moment Paul uses the word mystery, it signals that he is going to reveal a new truth not known before.
In this book, Hal Lindsey answers the questions most often asked. What is the rapture? When will it take place? Who will go? He explains in clear, easy-to-understand terms the answers to these and many other doctrinal issues surrounding the rapture of the church. Vanished into Thin Air is now available as an audio download for $24.99. You can purchase your audio book of Vanished into Thin Air by visiting the website store at hallindsey.com.
Against this backdrop of hysteria comes the Green New Deal. It is a brainchild of Representative Ocasio-Cortez. She introduced it as resolution in the House of Representatives. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts introduced it in the Senate. It is not a law. It is a non-binding resolution. But according to Ocasio-Cortez, it is also something more. She calls it a massive transformation of our society. On that, she is correct. A few years ago, nuclear weapons were the great rallying issue. You could inspire people anywhere in the world to march in support of banning the bomb. Communists manipulated that movement for their own purpose. In hindsight, we now know the anti-bomb movement was part of the Soviet Union's disinformation machine. Today, there are still enough nuclear weapons to bomb much of the world back into the Stone Age. So, where are the protests? They disappeared along with their benefactors. But as they faded, a new movement caught the fancy of far leftists, the Green Movement. Concern for the Earth has always been a legitimate cause, but like the anti-nuclear movement, the Green Movement has been hijacked by communists and socialists. They tell us that the world will end in 12 years unless we do as they say to us. They say that our children, our grandchildren, will become cannibals unless we completely rebuild our society. Their solutions move us toward a one-world government that is totalitarian, socialistic, and new age. According to Ocasio-Cortez's website, the Green New Deal would guarantee several things. Notice how few of them are related to climate change. A job with a family-sustained wage, family and medical leave, vacation and retirement security, high-quality education, including higher education and trade school, clean air and water and access to nature, healthy food, high-quality health care, safe, affordable, adequate housing, economic environment free of monopolies, economic security for all who are unable or unwilling to work. That's right, those unwilling to work would still be guaranteed economic security. The government would ensure that everyone is given vacations. The government would pay for the college and for health care. The government would make sure everyone has plenty of healthy food and safe housing, just like Venezuela. And that's the real point of the Green New Deal. It is a socialistic utopian dream. It proposes to end America's use of fossil fuels in 10 years. That means the end of the petroleum and coal industries. Right now, 81% of our electricity comes from fossil fuels. But if all cars and trains and other energy burners were suddenly electric, who knows how much more electricity we would need? But it couldn't come from fossil fuels. So, to power the nation, vast areas of the United States would be covered with various kinds of solar energy cells or windmill farms Today, we make up the difference using coal and gas-fired power plants. But without fossil fuel, powering America would require unthinkably large battery reserves. Making batteries is a filthy, environmental destructive process. Who knows how much environment damage would be done by building batteries on such an enormous scale. The Green New Deal would mean an end to air travel. Ocasio-Cortez says, to replace air travel, all we would have to do is build out high-speed rail at a scale where air travel stops becoming necessary. There are over 5,000 public airports in the United States. How much would it cost to connect all of them by high-speed rail? She says it doesn't matter. After all, she thinks we're facing the end of the world. But if you consider cost important, think about this. Last week, California abandoned its plan to build a high-speed rail line between San Francisco and Los Angeles. It was just too expensive. The cost of building that one line was going to be at least $77 billion, and probably a lot more. In 2015, I told you all about the United Nations 2030 Agenda. It is a non-binding list of 17 goals agreed to by all 193 member states of the UN General Assembly. Today, it is usually referred to as the Sustainable Development Agenda. At about that same time, Pope Francis called for global regulatory norms to impose obligations and prevent unacceptable actions. That means control by a new level of government, a government higher than mere countries. He called it a higher agency. He said, continuity is essential because policies related to climate change and environmental protection cannot be altered with every change of government. In democracies, a change of government usually means an election. But the global elite's elections are dangerous. When allowed to choose, people sometimes go against what the elites think best. They believe organizations need to be created with power over the nations. The Bible speaks of such coalitions forming in the last days. Out of them, Antichrist will rise. As usual, 2030 Agenda started as an environmental initiative and quickly took on elements of globalism and socialism. The UN describes it in utopian terms. Item number one on the agenda says, end poverty in all its forms everywhere. But to do that, they believe government must control consumption. That includes what we buy, eat, wear, drive, where we live, even the temperature at which we set our thermostats. Consumption control is covered in agenda item number 12. Ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. Attempting to end poverty by allowing government to control consumption is called communism. And that's what much of the environmental movement has deteriorated into. We must all do what we can to protect the earth environment. God made us stewards of the earth, but we must not allow that stewardship to be hijacked by socialists and totalitarians. Here's the bottom line. The earth will not be saved from environmental destruction by the power of the big government. In fact, the worst polluters on the planet have been and continue to be socialist governments. Respect for private property and God's creation are essential elements to conservation. Those elements are missing in the environmental movement because of its partnership with socialists. It has become the latest excuse to seize property, redistribute wealth, and empower government.
This may be our greatest opportunity, maybe even our last opportunity, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ before we're silenced by political correctness. The message that God has given me is more important now than it's ever been, for the church and for the nation. That's why I'm asking you to help me to expand our reach.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.
And thanks for being a vital part of my team.
Secular humanists promise utopias and deliver dystopias. All the while, they mock Christians for believing in pie in the sky by and by. It's true that some people have misused the promise of heaven, but that does not diminish its reality. God's promise remains true. The psalmist said, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Some people have a personal loving relationship with Jesus, but still struggle with belief in heaven. Some doubt heaven because they can't see it. For others, heaven just sounds too good to be true. In John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Almost 90% of Americans believe in God. Jesus said not to stop there. "You believe in God," he said, "believe also in me." If you know Jesus, if you trust him, think about the next verse. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Here Jesus assures us of heaven's reality. In fact, he gave it his personal guarantee. "If it were not so, I would have told you." If you trust Jesus, then you can trust in heaven. If it weren't the glorious, fantastic place we've heard about, he would have told us. He wouldn't allow us to build our lives on a false hope. Hebrews 11:10 tells us that Abraham was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Two chapters over, Hebrews says, "Here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." Jesus continued, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's where I am. There you may be also." The Bible talks about the heaven as a place we go to be with God when we die in Christ. Jesus called that place paradise. The Bible also talks about a new heaven and a new earth that will come into being soon after Christ's millennial reign on earth. Revelation 21 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Our future in Christ is so good, so wonderful, we struggle to imagine it. Paul said, As it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How's your life going? Are you worried that you won't be able to do all the things on your bucket list? Don't worry about it. Something far better awaits all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. If that's not you, it can be. You can do it right away. Simply confess to God that you are a sinner and can never qualify for heaven on your own. Tell him that you are sorry for your sins and want to be clean and made whole. Believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, just as God said, and that he died and rose from the dead, just as the Bible says. Then accept the free gift of the pardon that he purchased for you with his death on Calvary. If you do that sincerely, you will become a child of the living God and join his forever family. And the real heaven is in your future. That's it for tonight, folks. I'll see you next week, God willing.
You've been watching the Hal Lindsey Report. To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.